Would you turn your Bible now? We're going to go back and forth in all four Gospels. So I want you to keep your one finger in Matthew 26, 48. Matthew 26, 48. Keep your one of your finger in there. And Mark 14, 48. Mark 14, 48. And Luke 22, 48. And you're thinking, I'm running out of fingers. Then pull out somebody else's finger and stick it in there. John 18, 2. John 18, 2. Luke 22, 48. Luke 22, 48. John 18, 2. All right, let's start. The attention span of a 21st century people are very short. Would you agree? Do you know how short that is? According to the report by Microsoft, that nothing works from them, right? It was done in May 14, 2015. Guess how long the attention span of the 21st century people is. Come on, talk back to me. 20 seconds. Is it 20 minutes or 20 seconds? 20 seconds. Oh, do I hear 25 seconds? Do I hear 30? 35, 40, 50, 10, 10 seconds? Who said that? 5 seconds. Okay, you guys are really stingy. How about in between? 8 seconds, literally. You cannot carry your thought more than 8 seconds. You have to move to another one. And they say it's a result of the digital age culture. And if you notice, the movies, when you watch movies, or that even the television news program, any of you guys remember Walter Cronkite? What was the camera look like? Front. Entire program. Now, they have to change they have to look at the different camera, each story. And here, we use minimum of 3 cameras. Our video ministry folks, like stand up video ministry folks, please. Jeff, Alonzo, and Neil, and there are a couple other people. But anyway, go ahead and sit. We have 5 cameras going here at the same time because we're trying to keep up with the people's attention span. And when you go into our church YouTube, when you watch, you'll notice the camera angle get changed frequently. Otherwise, you guys do that anyway here. This morning, we are going to see the arresting scene of Jesus from all 4 Gospels. It's almost like we are watching the 4 monitors and going from one end to another end. You understand? So that's why I asked you to put your fingers in all these different places. Let's stop and pray. Father, your son did not have to come down to die for us. He did it out of pure love. While we're still sinners, he took all of our sins upon himself. Some people think that he did it because that was a plan B. Or some people say that he lost control. You never lose control. You are in complete. Father, we acknowledge that you are Almighty God, all-knowing God, and all-present God. Father, show us what Jesus went through and what Jesus is teaching us even through his arrest. How much love he has toward us, even to the one who is arresting him. Father, we are asking your will be done. Anoint our heart to receive and anoint the one who speaks. Father, we pray for President Trump and the leaders in this, your will be done in their life. And we also pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. More police officers being shot and killed. Comfort their families. Chapter 18 of John, chapter 18, John, verse 2, please. And Judas, who betrayed him also knew the place, that is the Garden of Gethsemane, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Verse 3. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops, note that word, detachment of troops, and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees came there with a lantern, torches, and weapons. Human history began in a garden that is known as the Garden of Eden. As we learned in Genesis chapter 2, and the first sin of man was committed in that garden. And the first Adam disobeyed God and was cast out from the Garden of Eden, but the last Adam, that is Jesus Christ, was obedient as he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Our memory verse, while you're keeping all those fingers in the books, go turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Verse 45. So it is written, the first Adam, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. You see, the history will one day, it will end in another garden that is located in the heavenly city that Apostle John described in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. In that garden, there will be no more death and no more curse and no more tears. The river of the water of life will flow endlessly, and tree of life will produce beautiful fruit. That's what the Bible says. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. I don't need any more proof. Eden was the garden of disobedience and sin. Gethsemane was the garden of obedience and submission. And the heavenly garden shall be the eternal garden of the delight and satisfaction to the glory of God. Amen? The Greek word, I ask you to note the word detachment. The Greek word for detachment is spira, and which is the tenth of a Roman legion. A legion is 6,000 soldiers. So tenth, that means 600 soldiers were in this garden. What irony. With a lantern and torches, this detachment, 600 soldiers, searching for one man, that is the light of the world. The light of the world, without pretense, without protection, he was standing right in front of their eyes, yet they did not see him because they were inside of their own darkness. It's just like a majority of the world population choose not to see the light of the world. Don't ever think that world people do not know because of their ignorance. Majority of cases, they know the Bible. They know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, especially in America. They choose not to accept that. Go down to verse 4 of chapter 18, please, in John. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let this go their way." That saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none." Stop there again, please. If I recall the size of the Garden of Gethsemane when we visited in Jerusalem, it's not a very big place. It's not hundreds of acres. Somehow, when we think of the orchard, olive orchard, it's a big one. It's not very big. Small size. Maybe from front end of our property to here. And not that wide. Can you imagine putting the, with the trees already existing, putting the 600 soldiers there, and the more people with the high priest and the Pharisees are coming in, and 11 disciples and Jesus himself. Everybody was tensed except one. Guess who that is? In front of their drawn sword, Jesus simply asked, quietly asked, "Whom are you seeking?" When they replied, he told them, "I am." And I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, you preacher, you missed the. There's another word, he. Okay, I didn't miss it. I purposely choose not to say it. Because that he is in italic. Am I correct? Italic means in your Bible is not in the original manuscript, but it was added by the editor of your Bible for your understanding, easy understanding. Saying, "I am he," saying, Jesus saying, "I'm the one you're looking for." In other words, Jesus used one of the God's name, I am. Ever-present God, Almighty God, all-knowing, all-powerful, God identified himself as I am. He could add, "You're not. I am, but you're not." That would be the end of it, right? He could banish them. But he laid aside that privilege, God, divine privilege, and willing to be arrested by human being. Think about it, guys. Let's say 600 soldiers from U.S. Army, all trained to kill and destroy things. They all bulked up, they have a body armor, they're standing in front of you, and somehow God knocked them down all like a domino, boom, 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 all the way to the last one. Have you ever seen the cat falling from the height? They have a total denial. When they fall, it's like, "I didn't fall. I meant it." It's like the 600 soldiers, they get getting up. It's like they don't want to acknowledge they fell. "I got tripped over something." All 600 of them. Yeah, right. Mere name, mention name of God, knock them down. That's the power in the name. Now, who is in control, folks? 600 soldiers? Oh, Jesus. He was in complete control. He knew what would happen. Our God has never lost his control over anything, including your own situation. Even to the every little detail, nothing escapes his all-knowing wisdom and all-seeing insight. There's no such a word like "oops" in God's vocabulary. Listen up, folks. I don't know where you are spiritually, emotionally, financially, physically. You may be between the rock and the hard place right now, or you may be being completely alone. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you heard this horrible word, "I'm divorcing you." Or somebody said, "I'm leaving you." Or somebody said, I don't love you anymore. Or somebody said, "Here's your layoff slip, pink slip." Well, if the federal government keeps it up, a lot of guys will hear them tomorrow. Whatever the situation is, Jesus is interceding for you from heaven. When the hour seems the darkest, he will come to you and he will take you to the safe harbor. The pain that comes from the trial of life often seems pointless, but God assures us that it is always purposeful. Pain is a part of life. In God's curriculum, it is a course we can neither drop or nor simply skip or just take someone else's painful experience as an ours. Our God is in complete control over all of our lives, not some, all of our lives. Can you say that with me? All of our lives. We cannot find anyone better than him to trust with our lives. This time, turn your Bible to the Matthew chapter 26, verse 48. Matthew 26, 48. Now his betrayer has given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately, Judas, went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Then turn your Bible to the Luke chapter 22. Keep your finger in Matthew, because we're going to go back. Luke 22, verse 48. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? It's a tragic to see how Judas cheapened everything that he touches. He even used the kiss as a weapon, not a sign of affection. In that day, it was customary for the disciples to go and kiss their master, get their teacher. Not on the lips. You know how the West Eastern people kiss on each side of cheeks? But in this case, it was not a mark of submission or respect or affection. The Greek verb indicates that Judas kissed Jesus repeatedly, smothered him. Judas did not really understand Jesus. Somehow the movies tried to portray, liberal movie makers tried to portray Judas was this victim of the circumstance. He's not. He knew exactly what he was doing. Judas thought that they would have a search for him in the garden and fired up his disciples in order to arrest him. That's why Judas came with the 600 soldiers of detachment. Jesus came to them and calmly surrendered. It would not have been even necessary for Judas to betray him with a kiss, because Jesus told them who he is. He was not hiding. Before we go on to the next portion, I would like to ask you a question. Do you kiss Jesus? And you may say, "Who do you think I am, Judas? I don't betray Jesus." Let me ask you this. After you leave the church, after Sunday, on Monday, as Pastor Al said, do we separate our lives from one to another? Do we segregate? When you come to church, sing a worship song, it's a kissing God's face. The root word of the worship is a kissing forward. Are you with me? So if you worship Him with your hands lifted and sing worship songs and deliberately continue in your sin, your hidden sin, after you leave this church service, you're doing exactly what Judas did. You need to stop sinning. Nobody may know your pet sin. Nobody know. Your best kept secret is open scandal in heaven. I heard this from Pastor Chuck, another pastor, when I went to the senior pastors conference up in California. And I think I told you. You know, some of these guys, he's pointing out generally, these pastors, they are married, but they have a girlfriend, in other words, mistress. And Pastor Chuck, the late Pastor Chuck Smith, who is the founder of Calvary Chapel, he pleaded with us whenever we go there, stay in the course, follow Jesus, don't get involved with other women other than your wife. Some of these guys, this pastor continued, as they were leaving this compound campus, while they're driving and get on the phone to call their girlfriend. Think about it, folks. If a pastor can get into that kind of stupidity, get into word day in, day out, do you think you have a whole lot of different chance? You don't. There are no more hollow, hypocritical word in the Bible than greeting Rabbi from the mouth of Judas. The loving, heartfelt, loving word of Jesus, calling him friend. Why have you come, friend? It stands a sharp contrast. Jesus is giving him one last chance. But yet, Judas went on to his destruction. Back to Luke chapter 22, verse 48. When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now turn to the John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 10. It's fun to flip the Bible back and forth, right? Keep you awake. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, we wonder who the sword man was, right? Having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So the Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given?" While we admire Peter's courage and sincerity, it was certainly a demonstration of zeal without knowledge of God's will. Why did Peter not know the will of God? Because he slept when he should have been praying. He talked and stick his foot in his mouth while he should have been listening. Do we not often do the same? Later, Peter discovered the true sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then God's servant used fighting in their spiritual battle. On the day of Pentecost, he spoke. Guess what happened? 3,000 people got saved. He used his own sword, his own way, worldly way. He couldn't even cut the head off the man. He lopped up the ear. He missed the mark. Probably he was doing this. Soldier, you don't look like a soldier, so let me go after you. According to Luke chapter 22, Jesus had to heal the high priest's servant Malchus' ear. Otherwise, Peter might have been arrested or be killed right there. It was another act of God's grace. This servant came to arrest Jesus with the soldiers. It was our Lord's last public miracle before the cross. This brings another important question to ourselves. Does our God need our protection? Some people have a twist of logic. Well, I got to do God's work so I should blow up the abortion clinic. Or kill the abortion doctors. I don't think so. Taking another person's life without right cause is murder. I know some people think that, well, thou shalt not kill. Find me one place, and even in the King James Version, find me one place in the Bible you shall not kill. You cannot find it. It says you shall not murder. There's a difference between murder and killing. God does not need our protection. Well-meaning people do the things in their own ways. By the way, in case you didn't notice, our church is the most well-protected church. Do you know? I feel sorry for any dummy who tried to hurt you guys. They cannot even pass the gate, front door. And you're wondering, what are you talking about? You don't need to know. Just you know that you are well protected. And especially if you're from the West Coast, this is a free state of Arizona. We are allowed to carry weapons. What did Jesus mean that when he said, shall I not drink a cup which my Father has given me? To understand what Jesus meant, you must go to the verse that comes from Jesus to the Father during his prayer prior to this situation. Go to verse 42, please. I know somebody will argue with me after the service. Didn't you just say God doesn't need the protection? And you said you carry weapons? God's never against the self-defense. And you may say, didn't the Bible say that turn the other cheek? Yeah, turn the other cheek for the insult, not. If somebody smack you upside the head with a fist, you better protect yourself. Or somebody tried to hurt your family, you better protect them. But if somebody is giving you all the names in the book, let it roll on your back. Verse 42. Saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Stop there. You see, Jesus was able to accept the cup because it was mixed by the Father and given to him from the Father's hand. He did not resist the Father's will because he came to do the Father's will and finish the work that God, the Father, gave it to him. This time, go back to the Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew 26, verse 52. But Jesus said to him, Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to the Father, and then he will provide me with the more than 12 legions of angels? Now, how then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Turn to Luke chapter 22:51. Luke 22:51. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his Malchus's ear and healed him. In an attempt to protect Jesus, Peter, better fisherman than swordsman, lopped the ear of the Malchus, servant of the high priest. Luke writes the following Peter's showing of force. Jesus touched the Malchus' ear and healed him. In other words, Jesus was doing the damage control of Peter like he does it for us all the time. I think that is perhaps a miracle Jesus still does most. Healing people whom have been needlessly wounded by another follower of Jesus who have been using the sword of Scripture foolishly. Have you ever experienced someone come to you when you are in a certain situation and using Bible verse that hurt you more than helped you? You know what I'm talking about? I encourage people who wants to be a counselor, a Bible counselor, I ask them, listen. Listen more than talking. There's a reason why God provided 2 years, one mouth. In other words, you should listen twice more than talking. How often we hurt one another in an attempt to protect Jesus? Ears fly everywhere. And body of Christ is maimed because a well-meaning Christian like Peter unsheathed their Bible verses and started chopping away at each other. Listen to the word of Jesus. If you are using the sword of spirit to slice another people up and put the people down, please stop. Sometimes the best counseling you can do when the other person is in big trouble or is in their situation, just be there. If that person is crying, you cry with them. You don't have to say anything. Give your shoulders to cry. When Peter moved in the power of the world, he only cut off the ears. But when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, using the sword of Spirit, pierced the heart for God's glory. You can find it in Acts chapter 12, verse 37 through 41. Being a legion is 6,000. A legion, as I mentioned, 6,000. Jesus talking about, he said 12 legions of angels he can dispatch. Calculate. Do your math. 12 legions, that means 72,000 angels. Am I correct? According to 2 Kings, I believe. Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 19. One angel, and overnight, he killed 185,000 Syrian soldiers. One's army, one angel. So times 240,000 times 185,000. There were not enough people to go around to meet the quota. God had a complete control, but he chose not to use that divine power. Are you with me on that? Don't ever think that Jesus being arrested was in plan B or it just happened that way. We must realize that he is perfectly capable of defending himself. Our job is not to protect or defend or avenge for Jesus. Jesus called us to do the one thing. Guess what that is? Love others. Okay, we are almost at the end. Mark chapter 14, please. Mark chapter 14, verse 48. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with a sword and club to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scripture must be fulfilled." And go to Luke chapter 22, 53, please. Luke 22, 53. The reason why I'm going through like this is because I want you to catch everything that Jesus speak. But this is the hour, your hour, the power of darkness. Go to John chapter 18, verse 12. John chapter 18, verse 12. Then the detachment of the troops and the captain of the and the officers of the Jews arrest Jesus and bound him. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 52. Then they all forsook him and fled. And now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth and thrown around his naked body. Then the young man laid hold of him, and he left linen cloth and fled from them naked. A lot of people, Bible scholars believe that it was Mark himself, the author of this book. So obviously, Jesus was not a handsome man. And you may say, well, where did you get that idea? Think about it. If he was a good-looking guy, and he was a Mr. GQ of the Israel, Judas would say, look for the best-looking guy. Or if he had one of those halo behind like all the painting has, look for the guy who was glowing hair. He was average Joe whatever, Abraham or Goldstein. He was average Jew. According to Isaiah 53, it said he was a 10, yeah, I will just read it to you. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. And he has no form of a comeliness. And when he sees him, when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. Three applications. There is no such a thing as too late to turn away from sin. You have a past sin. Today, now is the time for you to repent. If you are in sin, turn away from it now. Remember, Jesus called Judas friend one last time. Second application. Let's be careful how we use the word, sword of spirit, which is the word of God, to one another. Third application. Our God is in complete control over all of our lives. We cannot find anyone better than him to trust with our lives. No one. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray.